The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
If you have looked in the guests section at the top of Rents on the left-hand side, you'll see that our first guest, this first hour tonight, is Robert David Steele. And we're going to talk to Robert about his continuing efforts to get an audience, a serious sit-down session with Donald Trump. Even if someone would be able to get to Trump with Robert's direct information, directly, that would probably help. There's an interesting article that Robert sent me today, and it's a report card on Donald Trump after, well, we'd call it 10 months in office, almost a year, by Paul Adams, and I've got it up there under the name Steele in Guests. You'll see it there, and I would urge you to go through that, and it doesn't really come as much of a surprise to me, but it does in the sense that for once we're actually seeing it laid out in color. It's right there. You can see all the issues he has completely reversed himself or flip-flopped on, and the grade given to him by Mr. Adams, and correctly so, for all these primary subjects. I mean, they're really bad. It portends nothing good. Let's put it that way. All right, let me just do a few of these real quickly, and we'll say hello to Robert. In fact, say hello to Robert first. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Jeff. And it's not that bad. He's just getting started.
All right. Well, he's got a lot of Fs here. He's got a reverse. Cooperate with Russia. Adams says, yes, a flip-flop. He gets a fail. Pull out of NATO. Yes, a flip-flop on that. He gets a fail. Pull out of the UN. Yes, a flip-flop. Fail. Indict Hillary Clinton. Yes, a flip-flop. Fail. Indict George Soros. Yes, flip-flops. Fail. Outlaw and arrest Antifa. Yes, a flip-flop. Another fail. Investigate James Comey. A flip-flop there and a fail grade there. Repeal the Iran nuclear deal. Yes, a flip-flop and a fail there. And withdraw from Afghanistan, for God's sakes. And yes, he flip-flopped there too, and gets a fail. So it's good to see these things laid out. That's just a small portion of the report card. You all can take a look at it. His high marks, just for the record, very quickly. Energy, he gets 5 excellence out of 6. The other one is a good mark. So he's big energy, he's big business. And what would you do with this man, Robert, if you could sit down with him?
Well, I think that he's going to surprise you. I think that
he already has.
What's that?
He already has, but the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, I give Trump credit in two ways. The first is he's a disruptor. whatever his flaws are, he's changed the game. He's broken the business as usual model, and God bless him for that. But the second thing is everything he's accomplished, and he has accomplished, we have 13 things he's accomplished. 25 are still to be determined, and 43 are failed. But everything he's accomplished so far has been in the face of enormous resistance from the deep state, which all prior presidents after Kennedy was assassinated were deep state presidents. So they were actually pushed forward and enabled to succeed in the things that the deep state wanted. Now, Bill Binney and I sent a letter to Jeff Sessions on the 26th of May, and I hope it had an effect because it essentially told Jeff Sessions exactly how to go into the NSA databases. 99% of NSA data until our letter arrived was unprocessed. And it told the attorney general exactly how to go in and pull out every email and every phone call for every pedophile, every traitor, agent of a foreign power, and every white-collar criminal at the Goldman Sachs level. I believe Trump has all those names, and I believe that the 2,500 indictments across this country, including people at the governor's level, are a result of Donald Trump finally getting a grip on the NSA's unprocessed data. Hmm. And if I had a role to play in that, I feel like I have served my country well.
Well, I would agree. I hope you did, and I hope we can see something come of this. What's your analysis of Sessions so far?
Well, you know, like Judge Moore, I stand with Sessions in the sense that whatever his flaws in the past, he's done his best to serve the president, and he's apparently done very, very well in rolling out an amazing number of indictments across the country, sealed indictments. From everything that I'm reading and hearing, I have no direct knowledge, but everything I'm reading and hearing says that the president has managed to interrupt the cash flow for the deep state across drugs and trafficking and people. Money laundering and other areas. So I think my best guess as a former spy, as an intelligence, as someone who created a national intelligence facility, is that Donald Trump has his hands on the balls of the deep state and he's beginning to squeeze. And that's the good news for this week.
Okay. Did you
You don't buy it, Jeff?
Well, no, I don't know about Sessions at all. I watched, and many of you out there watched, the YouTube video of Representative Jim Jordan just really ripping Sessions up in that hearing. And Sessions didn't come across very well, in my view. I don't know how to put a good spin on it, but it was not encouraging. And I still wonder how they really feel about each other. They've seemingly gone at each other, then they turn around and they're best of friends. I don't know. Tell me more.
I'm with you. And there are some wonderful people out there, including Judge Andrew Napolitano, who would make superb attorney generals.
Judge Knapp ought to be there. Oh, yes.
He would be wonderful. And then the Supreme Court later on. But the bottom line here is that I think the president has had so much trouble getting started, because Rentz Priebus gutted the presidency in the early days. The Office of Presidential Personnel was hijacked, and to the best of my knowledge, is still not under presidential control. It has been placing establishment people, and it hasn't been placing as many people as it should have. I would have had all 4,000 of those positions filled by now.
They're not filled. This is amazing when you think about it.
Not only are they not filled, there are too many Obama holdovers. And the people who have been filled, in my view, are at least 50% are suspect. They're Rentz Priebus, Paul
Reince.
Right,
that's right. That's Reince, not Rentz.
Okay, Reince, whatever. Asshole traitor. Right. Let's just call him that.
Okay.
But the bottom line here is I think Trump has, in fact, done some huge, big things, including the Supreme Court, including cleaning out some of the early ones. There's strong rumors that Kushner and Ivanka are headed back to New York. I'm seeing real signs of progress. And let me sum up by saying that I think that Trump is finally going to get a grip on the 1% and break the model. Now, the real question is, can he then pivot and connect with the 99%? Can he do what needs to be done to create a mass public movement and a government of, by, and for we the people? And I'm not sure he's capable of doing that in the next 90 days.
Tell me more about your view about Priebus and how he gutted the presidency. That's a very big statement for a man who, in my view, because he's allied with the establishment, really shouldn't have that kind of power. I don't know.
I think when Trump was elected by accident, by surprise, I think he immediately started thinking about how to avoid assassination. And we now know that George Bush tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan 8 times. We now know that George Bush and Arnon Milchan from Israel were key participants in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Milchan and Yitzhak Rabin were the two major league Zionists who were part of the cabal that assassinated John F. Kennedy. And then fast forward to Milchan and his involvement with 9/11, including two movies he made that suggest to me, with airplanes crashing into buildings, that suggest to me that Arnon Milchan was the major architect of the theatrical narrative surrounding 9/11.
Right.
So I think that's a man. And we'll talk later about the 5 strikes that Israel has had so far. They just had strike 6. I think Arnon Milchan is going to be strike 7 in 2018. So anyway, bottom line on Rents Priebus is, apart from the fact that he's been an intimate of Paul Ryan, if you take my double meaning.
Wow.
I think
that there you
Rents,
go.
That's a Republican establishment.
We need to go back to the pedophile homosexual thing, too, in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. We certainly can. I would say Rents Priebus is at a minimum a major league cover-upper and in all likelihood a procurer and facilitator, if not an actual participant, in running children into Congress and the White House and the elite establishment, the donor establishment. Priebus,
how many pedophiles have been arrested so far? Now, as you know, you looked at that report card. And Adams generally says the only arrests have occurred in people, the vast majority, 25 years of age and younger. Yeah.
I'm concerned by that because I think part of the problem is the FBI, which is a theatrical agency, has been running operations against child porn rather than actual pedophilia and the murder of children.
Right.
The FBI cannot get a grip on the data across 18,000 police jurisdictions. Just doesn't have it. The FBI is a retarded agency. It's in the Stone Age in the information technology sense. It's also in the Stone Age in the management sense. It doesn't do holistic analytics. It doesn't do preventive policing. There's just a bunch of things wrong with that agency, which I will stress, I want to triple their budget, but they need to turn into a mongoose, snake-eating, rat terrier kind of agency that goes for the throat. We have 2,500 traitors across defense and state and commerce. I would like all of them gone within a year. And part of the reason the FBI doesn't succeed is because NSA does not provide signals intelligence support to either the clandestine service and its tactical operations overseas, nor to the FBI and its domestic counterintelligence operations. NSA operates in its own little stovepipe world, and it's largely worthless to everybody else. So there's a lot we can do. But going back to your question, I think Rents Priebus essentially castrated Donald Trump the first 90 to 120 days. And it wasn't until Trump freed himself from Priebus and got Kelly in there that he started to move in right. more serious ways.
Well, I don't know if the grafting operation to restore his manhood will work or not, but you mentioned the Supreme Court. And there's a very troubling story today. A shocker came out of the Supreme Court. Now, remember, the justice that was named was supposed to swing the balance in favor of the Constitution. The Supreme Court today has, according to at least one major story, gutted our Second Amendment to bear arms for protection. They have refused by a vote of 5-4 against hearing a case that was brought by, among others, the motion by Edwin Vieira. This has to do with, well, let me read the story real quick. Supreme Court guts Second Amendment by refusing to hear semi-automatic weapons ban case. Today, the Supreme Court let stand the Fourth Circuit Court's holding in Colbe versus Hogan that semi-automatic rifles are not constitutionally protected arms, and in doing so, declared the Second Amendment guarantees only a second-class right. While Colby versus Hogan was but one of four circuit court decisions to have upheld state or local bans on semi-automatics, the case differed greatly from its predecessors. In Colby, a case challenging Maryland's assault weapon ban, the full Fourth Circuit Court held that the AR-15 and the semi-automatic AK-47s and other banned semi-automatic rifles are, quote, not constitutionally protected arms, end quote, because they are, quote, weapons that are most useful in military service. Conversely, the Second, Seventh, and D.C. Circuit Courts all held semi-automatic rifles are protected by the Second Amendment, yet bans were still justified by the government's interest supposedly advanced.
Well, I don't want to spend our whole time talking about that.
That's a big decision, though. The court is wrong.
Well, it's wrong, and we'll come back to it, because when they say that it's mostly useful in military sense, what part of militia are they forgetting? The average American citizen has a right to any weapon that the military might choose to use at the individual level.
Well said. That's fine.
So let's move on to something else, because I think we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, including war in the Middle East. I sat down with a cabinet-level member of Ronald Reagan's cabinet, and he told me he's quite certain that Netanyahu was planning for war in February of 2018, and that Netanyahu thinks he's got the votes in Congress to mandate a war. That is really troubling to me, and I have written an article about this, War in the Middle East.
Who's going to be listed as protagonist in this war? Will it be a false flag and make the Israelis the victims, or what?
The Zionists have just done two false flags. The missile was a false flag, and the mosque was a false flag. Missile was fired by the Israelis, and by prearrangement, I believe, and the Saudis then were able to miraculously intercept it. The mosque, I'm quite certain, was done by Israeli surrogates. They are trying to punish Egypt for not shutting down Gaza.
Right.
So I would be very pleased if your listeners, if you posted the link, send your listeners to the war in the Middle East. I'm seeing some signs you already have. But the other thing about that article that's so important is it lists the fury that's growing across America against the Zionists. And it lists the five strikes. And now we have a sixth. Yeah, can I list those, or do you
want to? Please, no, go ahead, Robert. That's good.
Well, the five strikes against the Zionists in modern history are the USS Liberty, first of all. 9/11, second, the law that's before the Senate and the House that makes it a felony to criticize Israel and boycott Israel. I don't think the law will pass, but every member of Congress that has co-sponsored that legislation should be
evicted immediately.
As a traitor, absolutely. And then you have the 23 states that have been discovered to be in the employ of the Israelis, the Zionists. You cannot get disaster relief or have a contract with any of 23 states unless you swear a loyalty oath to Israel, unless you say you have never boycotted Israel and you will never boycott Israel. This has gotten so bad that in Kansas, a school teacher was fired for boycotting Zionist products on her own time with her own money.
This is not America. This is not America. These things should not be allowed to stand. And if you were to ask 100 sheep on the street about this, Robert, unfortunately, they wouldn't know anything.
No, I understand that, Jeff. And Donald Trump just did not finish the job. And we've got to finish the job on America first. But let me say that I see encouraging signs, because we just had Strike Six. Haaretz, which is one of my favorite Israeli publications, Haaretz published a very, very thoughtful article on how Netanyahu has told the progressive American Jews to piss off. He has basically told them they get nothing from him.
Right.
Zionist Israel is about Orthodox Jews. And he essentially has told the progressive Jews they're nothing more than goyim and shiksa, which means they can be screwed by the Zionists anytime. So I think Trump has an opportunity to reach out to the progressive American Jews and craft a policy toward Israel that essentially says Netanyahu has to go.
Well, if he doesn't do it now, we're going to be too late and down the road, and the barn will be empty. You're right. You're right. American Jews have got to stand up and throw off the chains that are around their ankles, at least the appearance of chains. It's got to stop.
Without their help, we can't do it. I'm the first person to properly define the distinction between Zionists and Jews. Zionists bad, Jews good. And I'm very pleased with that. And people are starting to get it. And as long as we're talking about Zionists, shall we talk about Google Gestapo and how they censor and crowdstock and digitally assassinate people?
Yeah. It's another bad thing. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I have deep personal experience in this. When Cynthia McKinney and I came out with the Integrity Pledge, which essentially demanded that every congressperson sign a pledge to put America first, not Israel first, this apparently moved us into the top 10 of the AIPAC hit list. And a campaign was immediately started to shut down hashtag UNRIG. And it started off with a media hit job after one of my Alex Jones appearances. Then it ramped up to a defamation campaign, rolled into 400 different trolls that were reporting me as a spammer, a hater, and more recently as a purveyor of pornography.
Yeah, you got the attention, the full attention of the Haifa hackers is what happened.
Well, let me say that I'm going to be very disappointed if I'm not in their top three. I'm trying to move from top 10 to top 3.
Okay. I got it.
This is my ambition. And then we found out that Meetup was subject to influence from the Anti-Defamation League, which is the secret police for the Zionists. Meetup canceled our $77,000 a year professional program of 435 meetups. Now, this is the same meetup that is co-sponsoring with the Anti-Defamation League 1,087 hashtag resist movements that are seditionist and calling for the impeachment of our president. And this meetup CEO is providing an illegal, undeclared campaign contribution to the Democratic National Committee by waiving $195,000 in fees. He's waiving $195,000 in fees for 1,087 seditionist hashtag resist.
Well, there you go.
At the same time that he's giving up $77,000 in legitimate revenue from hashtag UNRIG. So I think it's all connected. All paths lead to the Anti-Defamation League. They are the connecting, they are the hub for all of this bad
stuff.
Well,
I concur, and that's very well said. And we have to take a break, but let's not forget that an argument can very strongly be made that the American political establishment, both Democrat and Republican, are really one party. Essentially, the AIPAC party. Back in a minute with Robert. Okay, let's get right back to Robert David Steele, and we're talking about a number of things. The issue here is, let me back up a little bit. I was trying to remember, and it's got to be the late 80s, 89, 88, the first time I saw the term ZOG. First time. It was way back then. Zionist Occupied Government. Now, that's almost 30 years ago. And it was 28 years. It was certainly well known then that the influence of world Zionism through the banks and through the bribery and the pedophilia and all the rest of it is intolerable. Now, what you said earlier a few minutes ago about people not getting disaster relief, I want you to repeat that. That's very important. Americans need to know this, and I know many of you out there didn't know it. Please repeat that about getting disaster relief and what you have to do for it, or you won't get any.
Well, the end notes with links are in the article on war in the Middle East at 58iota.net. Let me just say it's clearly established that the Zionists have gone down to the state and local level. They have bribed and blackmailed mayors and governors, not yes, just sir. Members of Congress.
Yep.
And it is now clearly established and well documented that from Texas to Florida, across 23 states, you cannot get disaster relief unless you swear an oath to Israel.
God.
You cannot have a contract with the state unless you swear an oath to Israel, which basically boils down to, I will never boycott Israel. All right. And we've just had this Kansas school teacher fired because she was boycotting Israeli products on her own time with her own money. This is what's known as the Israeli exemption to the First Amendment. It's absolutely outrageous. Now, let me tell you that the way that they get down to being able to blackmail and bribe all these people is with pedophilia. And I am a commissioner on an international tribunal on pedophilia. And I have been nurturing a book on pedophilia by a West Point graduate, Joachim Hagopian. That book is free online. The foreword and the first 11 chapters that destroy the Catholic Church, the CIA, and the U.S. military are already up and published and free online. And the short, tiny URL is pedoempire. So tinyurl.com/pedoempire.
Huh.
Now, the next 23 chapters are going to destroy Wall Street, Hollywood, the governors, and the U.S. Congress.
Fine by me.
Yeah, it's the A to Z encyclopedia. What Donald Trump is actually doing, I think, in going after the deep state is also going after the Zionists. And I know a lot of people are confused, and I personally am not completely confident that Trump will, in fact, rout the Zionists and turn on the Zionists.
Robert, excuse me. We both know if he really gets to causing them grave and serious problems, they'll kill him.
No, I don't agree, Jeff. I really don't agree. We're at a new point in time. And let me say that one of the reasons I don't agree is because I think Trump has cut the same deal with Putin and Xi that John F. Kennedy cut with Khrushchev. Khrushchev and Kennedy had agreed to ignore their generals, ignore their bureaucracies, and deal with one another at a head of state level. I think Putin, Xi, and Trump, and the Indonesian president, who most people don't realize was in the private off-the-record meetings in Vietnam, I think these four men have agreed to wage peace. And I believe these four men have agreed that Israel is the greatest threat to peace, not just in the Middle East, but around the world.
No question. None. And I hope you're right. And when I say kill him, I don't necessarily mean physically. There are other ways to kill somebody.
Yes, but again, because I publish Google Gestapo, I mean, what's really, I don't know if you've noticed, Jeff, but I've been 40 years ahead of my time. And I nailed it on pedophilia 10 years ago.
Yes, you did. You deserve all the credit for that. You do.
I've been with you side by side on the Zionist threat. And it's only recently that I found my voice. And frankly, if they had not attacked hashtag on Rig, I would not have put my headlights on the Anti-Defamation League and the Mossad and Arnon Milchan. I was
dirtbags, scum. I hate them. They're not good for America. They're not good for Jewish people.
We'll deal with them. But what's so cool about my tinyurl.com/Google Gestapo is it actually outlines the entire system. It names names. It provides very specific instances that I have personally experienced as this Zionist system has sought to destroy hashtag on Rig. They've deprived us of between $200,000 and $400,000 in donations. Bottom line here
is sure.
I have a lawsuit, and that lawsuit is going to see a lot of discovery, and I'm very happy about that. So pedophilia and Satanism, which is the death of children, you know, people need to understand that a lot of these kids are undocumented. We have low-rent morons in the United States that are giving birth to children as a cash crop and selling them without birth certificates. They have a higher value without a birth certificate. We are importing children from the Philippines and Thailand and other places, Haiti, thank you, Clinton Foundation, also without birth certificates, without documentation. The murder of children is the other side of pedophilia. And I think the public is now starting to realize just how big a problem it is. And that's good news, because that is going to give Donald Trump public support for literally not just draining the swamp, but killing every swamp creature in there.
I think you're right. I think he would have the support if he can get this campaign launched. And you're totally correct. Pedophilia and child sacrifice are inextricably linked. They follow one, then the other. And this is an issue that I've known for a long time that goes all the way down, and you mentioned it earlier, down to the county and the city and your township. There are people in your town, your community, right now, who are engaged and involved with the satanic pedophilia, the cult, as I call it, and they are destroying child lives right and left, literally and figuratively. A lot of them, they'll survive, but they end up being a dupe, a mind-controlled MK-Ultra, a monarch dupe for the rest of their adult lives if they grow to adulthood. The others are sacrificed as children. This is, how can this be? I call it Planet Evil now. This is not a hit and miss once in a while kind of thing. This is big business. It's huge.
It is big business. In fact, I'm told that people are making more money off the sale of children than they are off drugs. I'm also told that most children, once they enter the pedophilia pipeline, have 2 years to live.
That's probably accurate. Yeah. Yeah. It truly is amazing when you think about it. And again, I would ask all of you, if you live in a smaller town, you're not immune from this. You're not exempt from it. In fact, in a smaller town, it's probably easier for this cult to maintain its control and keep its positions of power over you, around you. And this goes on constantly. Again, it's a way of death.
Jeff, let me emphasize that Middle America, Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, read my lips, Indiana, are known to be riddled with pedophilia from the governor's office all the way down to the lowest child protective services person.
See, CPS, you're right. I don't want to go past that. CPS is an integral part of this whole horrific crime syndicate. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you. And one of the reasons that I think anonymity was introduced into the whole adoption process was to explicitly protect the fact that children are being taken from their families and adopted by pedophiles who were then free to basically murder the child as well as abuse it.
If I could get those people in a group, I would leap for the switch to get them off this planet forever.
Always send them to Australia.
yeah.
Look, let me wrap up, Jeff. Jeff, as we move toward close, let me just say that I think the president is not only going to triumph against the 1%, and I have been an advocate of truth and reconciliation and giving an exit strategy to the 1%, because
yes,
we want to educate the many rather than hang the few. But let me say that the three things that I think the president can do to avoid impeachment in 2019, because if he does nothing, the Democrats right now are poised to take back the Senate as well as the House. They will impeach him in the House. They will convict him in the Senate. And we will be left with Mike Rentz, a deep state president.
Mike Pence, who, by the way, has been well out of the spotlight, if you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, very quiet Mr. Pence has been lately, sitting in the background, biding his time.
Well, I actually think Pence is stabbing our president in the back at multiple levels.
We saw that right after he was nominated to take the position of vice president.
I think that's continued. And I think Pence and McMaster and Kushner all need to leave the White House. I really do think that Ivanka has enormous potential. I think of her as John F. Kennedy Jr. reincarnated.
She's been hijacked.
Right, but she has enormous potential. But Kushner has to go. McMaster apparently has been getting drunk and bad-mouthing the president.
Yes.
He's got to go. And I think Pence has to go also. You can't force Pence to resign, but you can offer him a presidential pardon and a deal he can't refuse. And the pardon can be secret for emergency use only. But coming back to the three things I'd like to see Donald Trump do in order to be the greatest president ever. Number one is an election reform act that puts at least 50 independents, libertarians, and greens into the House and at least 10 independents, libertarians, and greens into the Senate. That breaks the back of the two-party tyranny, and it paves the way for evidence-based governance. Number two is an open source agency with a Trump channel. That's two ways. This enables the president to educate the public on every issue through 7-minute fireside chat videos, not just from Trump, but from every officer of note across every policy area. And it enables the president to hear from 150 to 200 million citizens directly. Emails and trumpets, I call them, since we want to bury Twitter. Trumpets come in and they're aggregated, mm-hmm. and then there's a presidential dashboard, and he can drill down by demographic issue and so forth. Thing number three is the president needs to lead a national conversation, a grand strategic constitutional conversation about where should America be going, because I believe the president will be most successful with Congress if he asks the Americans directly, should we nationalize the Federal Reserve? Should we close all of our military bases overseas? Should we legalize marijuana and hemp? And so on.
Why should he
eliminate the Internal Revenue Service and so on and so forth?
Robert, I agree. Why should he even have to ask these questions? Why doesn't he just start implementing, to the best of his constitutional ability, all of the things you've mentioned and much more?
No, he does. He does have to win over the public, because right now he's being stymied by the two-party tyranny and by Wall Street. And frankly, he's blocked by advisors. He's got 9 Goldman Sachs bankers and 1 Goldman Sachs bankable and 54 Ashkenazi Jews,
Zionism,
all what he cannot do.
His own Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, called him a moron. National Security Advisor McMaster called him an idiot, a dope with the intelligence of an elementary school child. Why in the hell are those people still allegedly serving the president? That should not be allowed. What's going on here?
I don't know, but I do believe that the next few weeks we'll see some very positive change. And I believe that the president, because of the NSA databases, I mean, I don't, you know, I personally oppose, as did Bill Binney. Bill Binney and I both opposed the warrantless wiretapping as well as the torture and rendition by CIA. But we opposed all of that.
Uh-huh.
But the fact is, the NSA has every email and every phone call made by anybody in America for the last 10 years. I got a $500 donation from a professor in Wisconsin who said, you know, I finally figured out that if NSA has all this data for all these traitors and criminals, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. still walking around, then mm-hmm. NSA is part of the problem. What Binney and I did was give Jeff Sessions a map for how to go in and get the unprocessed data. I believe that Donald Trump has the names, dates, and places, the network, the visualization of every traitor and every pedophile and every white-collar criminal at the billion-dollar level. He's got it all.
Well, you gave him essential information. Who else could you give it to besides Sessions? Anybody?
The copy went to the president.
By way of?
Three people that have the fax number that Kelly doesn't know about.
No. All right. I wish at this point I could jump up and say Sessions could do it. I don't know the answer as to whether
doesn't
he
matter.
Could or doesn't.
It really doesn't matter, Jeff. What we want to do is try and help the president with both continuity and imagination. I think he's done as well as he could in the face of enormous opposition. But in order for him to turn his report card completely green, mm-hmm. he is going to have to harness the American public. And I mean 70% of the American public, not the 13% that the Republican Party controls. So if he's going to get 60 to 70% of the American public, he has to do three things that Robert Steele is suggesting: an Election Reform Act, an open source agency with a Trump channel, mm-hmm. and a national conversation mm-hmm. about grand strategy.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there to support that if it can be made to happen. For those of you who might have missed it, I'm going to just play about 2 minutes here as to illustrate why I say what I say about Sessions at this point. Now, things can change. Here's Representative Jim Jordan, I believe, of Missouri, and Jeff Sessions at a hearing. This is very interesting.
appreciate yesterday's letter you were...
This is Jordan talking.
Appointing a special counsel that you sent to us. But my concern is we sent you a letter 3.5 months ago asking for a second special counsel. And if you're now just considering, what's it going to take to get a special counsel? We know that former FBI Director James Comey misled the American people in the summer of 2016 when he called the Clinton investigation a matter. It's obviously an investigation. We know FBI Director Comey was drafting an exoneration letter before the investigation was complete. We know Loretta Lynch, one day before the Benghazi report came out, 5 days before Secretary Clinton was scheduled to be interviewed by the FBI, met with former President Bill Clinton on a tarmac in Phoenix. We know after that meeting, when she was corresponding with public relations people at the Justice Department, she was using the name Elizabeth Carlisle. You know, as I've said before, it seems to me if you're just talking golf and grandkids, you can probably use your real name. We know that Mr. Comey publicized the investigation, and we know he made the final decision on whether to prosecute or not. And then when he gets fired, he leaks a government document through a friend to the New York Times, and what was his goal? To create momentum for a special counsel, and of course it can't just be any special counsel, it's got to be Bob Mueller, his best friend, his predecessor, his mentor. The same Bob Mueller who was involved, we've now learned, in this whole investigation with the informant regarding Russian businesses wanting to do business in the uranium business here in the United States regarding the Uranium One deal. So I guess my main question is, what's it going to take, if all that, not to mention the dossier information, what's it going to take to actually get a special counsel?
It will take a factual basis that meets the standards of the appointment of a special counsel.
Is that analysis going on right now?
Well, it's in the manual of the Department of Justice about what's required. We've only had two. The first one was the Waco, Janet Reno, Senator Danforth, who took over that investigation as special counsel, and Mr. Mueller. Each of those are pretty special factual situations.
Let me ask it this way.
And we will use the proper standards, and that's what only thing I can tell you, Mr. Jordan.
Well, I appreciate that.
You can have your idea, but sometimes we have to study what the facts are and to evaluate whether it meets the standard.
Well said. So let me ask you this. If, in fact,
a special counsel.
Well, we know one fact. We know the Clinton campaign, the Democrat National Committee paid for, through the law firm, paid for the dossier. We know that happened. And it sure looks like the FBI was paying the author of that document, and it sure looks like a major political party was working with the federal government to then turn an opposition research document, the equivalent of some National Enquirer story, into an intelligence document, take that to the FISA court so that they could then get a warrant to spy on Americans associated with President Trump's campaign. That's what it looks like. And I'm asking you, doesn't that warrant, in addition to all the things we know about James Comey in 2016, doesn't that warrant naming a second special counsel, as 20 members of this committee wrote you 3.5 months ago asking you to do?
Well, Mr. Comey is no longer the director of the FBI.
Thank goodness.
We have an excellent man of integrity and ability in Chris Wray, and I think he's going to do an outstanding job, and I'm very happy
about
that.
He's not here today, Attorney General.
And I would say,
tomorrow, and I'm asking for a special counsel.
The time of the gentleman.
And I would say,
expired.
Looks like is not enough basis to appoint a special counsel.
See, he will not answer the question. This is typical doublespeak. He just doesn't answer anything, and I'm at this point, Bob, I'm just not there.
Well, give him credit for 2,500 indictments, Jeff.
No, 25 years and under, right?
I don't know what's going to happen, but I do have a very good feeling about the immediate future. I'm just worried that the president is not going to connect to the rest of the public.
He's got to. If he doesn't, then it's over. He's got to. That's his only play, to play to the public now.
If Donald Trump self-destructs, then I believe that 2020 will be the year in which we elect an independent president with a coalition cabinet and a balanced budget announced in advance. So God bless Donald Trump. He's opened that door. I'd rather see him succeed. I'd rather see him take my three ideas and become the greatest president ever and win the Nobel Peace Prize in passing.
Well, it'd be nice to see somebody win it who deserved it. God.
You know, as someone who's been recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize, I became very familiar with the terms of the will. And most of the Peace Prizes, going back to Henry Kissinger, have been absolutely corrupt.
Of course.
However, what Donald Trump can do to win the Nobel Peace Prize is close all our military bases overseas. Alfred Nobel said the Peace Prize was for the person, not an organization, who has done the most in the past year, not in their lifetime, to demilitarize the world. Close all U.S. military bases overseas in 1 year, and you win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, hands down, for sure. Even if you closed half of them, you'd win. Even if he stopped the war in Afghanistan and got the hell out of Syria, he'd probably win.
Around Iran, he would win.
Yeah.
If he stopped supporting Israel and Saudi Arabia, he would win.
Yeah, if there was a legitimate vote on that issue. Of course, today, militarily speaking, we talk about the Navy and the aircraft carrier, the super carrier groups, and the offshore presence.
Let's talk about the USS Gerald Ford, which is the biggest single waste of money on the planet.
Yeah, and you know why? Because the Russians have now announced operational deployment of their anti-ship missile. You know how fast that cruise missile goes?
Well, but Jeff, I have bad news for you. The U.S. Gerald Ford was an Edsel, an Albatross.
The Ford never should have been built, for God's sakes. It's a joke. The Russians have an anti-ship cruise missile that can travel 4,600 miles an hour.
Jeff, you're not hearing me. The USS Gerald Ford will sink without Russian assistance.
Right. Oh, I'm not going to argue that. No, it's a turkey. No question about it. Robert, thank you for being here. As always, keep it up. You're shaking them up out there. Good job.
Oh, God bless you, Jeff. You run, I think, the most important channel now that Alex Jones is folded for Google Gestapo.
Yeah, he is. Thank you. Thanks, Robert. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, we will be right back with hour number two after this.